Hi, friends. Welcome to Caroline and Rashi. There was no music, but that's okay. We are here. Happy Friday, everyone. We have the amazing Faith Braverman here. She is an amazing producer that we have, and she got her makeup done for us. Can we just talk about just...
Shout out Jessica.
Shout out Jessica, and her hair looks amazing, and you are amazing, and everything that
you
do, and
oh,
I'm so glad that, you know, we sit next to each other, so we're like pumping each other up all the time. So I was like, what better person to have on Caroline Rashi than, so she sits across from Caroline. She's like the, it's like us three.
Yeah, we're so in our little
Caroline,
cubicle pod.
Faith, and then me sitting next to her. So I know that we talk, one of the big things that we have in common is we're both parents, so we talk about that. And what you've done is, we'll talk about at the end of the show, the spectrum of parenting, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
And so you have taken the time to use your platform, basically, and your experiences to help others. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that. She's so, also, she's one of eight sisters.
Yep, one of eight sisters.
Sisters, guys, not just siblings. Sisters.
All girls. I know. Every time I tell people that, I get a lot of very common responses. Like I was telling I was telling Melissa the other day, and she just was like, "Oh, your poor dad." I was like, "Everyone says that."
I know. So, are you close with all your sisters, or are there some, or how does that?
Well, you know, we got, it's a little Kardashian-y, you know, like this sister I'm fighting with right now, and this one I'm not. You know, we have group chats with these sisters, but not those.
Oh my gosh.
It can be a little clicky sometimes, but overall, I mean, at the end of the day, we're family. We love each other, but also no one annoys you like your family.
Oh my God. So what is, where are you?
I'm number 7 out of 9. So I've got 6 older sisters.
Wait, there are 9 total.
There's 9 total. Yeah. So I have 8 sisters. So it's 1 of 9. Yeah. I know, it's crazy. So I got 6 older sisters who henpecked me growing up, you know, put me in my place. And then I got 2 younger sisters who also put me at my place, weirdly.
Oh my gosh. So what is it like being number 7 of 9?
Well, I like that I'm lucky number 7. I always kind of took pride in that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I love other big families too, because Michael Jackson's number 7 in his family too. And I'm just there's something about the 7 that's special.
There's not as many people that can say, you know, as being number 7 of 9.
Exactly.
But, you know, I'm sure people are just so mesmerized and just, you know, fascinated by how you grew up and how, like, did you share a room with multiple siblings? How did that work?
Yeah, like when I was growing up, when I was a kid, it was like, we were pretty poor. I won't sugarcoat it, you know, with that many kids, you know, plus my dad passed away when I was pretty young, when I was 5, he had cancer. So it was just my mom and her focus was us. So it was, you know, pretty tight. But my mom actually remarried not that long after my dad died. And he was amazing, honestly. Like, it takes a lot to take on that many kids that are not yours.
I can't imagine that, like, date or whatever. It's like, yeah.
He actually knew my parents.
Okay.
He came out to like pay his respects to my dad.
Oh, wow.
And came to visit us. Mm-hmm. And then my mom hit it off.
Wow.
I know, it's a crazy story because he also has 8 kids as well.
No.
Sorry.
Guys.
We've worked together almost a year and I haven't told her about this.
Oh my gosh. So I've
got 8 sisters, 5 stepbrothers, 3 stepsisters overall. Yeah.
That's a lot. So what is like, what are family gatherings like? Are we doing
like... They're pretty crazy. Yeah, well, not so much these days. Everyone's kind of married and has kids, so everyone kind of does their own thing. But no, whenever we do all get together, it's total chaos. You know, especially when my stepdad's kids come too, it's like... But my parents have this big ranch, so it's like got enough room for everybody.
Wow.
It's like 8 acres, so we'll just have, you know, gatherings out there, and it's always really special whenever we can get everyone together. It's been a long time, you know, we're scattered all over the country, the world even, you know.
Wow.
I got some siblings that live overseas, so yeah, it's a herding cats to get everyone all together. But
I bet.
Yeah, but yeah, circling back, it was like, I think at one point, like 4 to a room. We had like this one story house, and it was, I think, 4 siblings to a room. But then, you know, more kids left the nest.
Yes.
So by the time I was in high school, I had my own room. So.
Right.
Since I was one of the younger
kind
ones.
Of, I know, but I just find it so fascinating just being a parent myself. I mean, I just have my sister, but like, you know, I have 2 and I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to handle this? And I know that, you know, you have 1 and it's kind of like the same thing. And you just are, you know, you feel, but did your mom work throughout as well?
No, she was like full-time mom. I mean, with that mm-hmm. many kids, you kind of have to be.
Yes, and that I was mean, how like, would you even do that?
She would do like things like babysit, mm-hmm. you know, for other families. She's like, I've already got all these kids with yeah. another couple, you right. know, and do like, you know, odd jobs and things like that. But honestly, like after my dad passed away, the community really rallied around us. We went to St. Thomas More Catholic Church mm-hmm. and they like would, you know, cook meals for us and oh, watch wow. us, you know, and you know, I feel so bad for my mom now, you know, because I can't imagine losing my husband mm-hmm. and we just have the one child together. I can't imagine losing my husband and having that many children. So,
right.
you know, my mom's my hero truly for
oh my gosh.
Everything that
she's
she
my
go
hero.
Through.
I mean, just yeah. it's like, you know, God puts you to the test and it's
in a big way
and you don't know how, you know, gives you the ability to do whatever it is you have to do.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that me and you talk a lot about those kind of things. And I try to read with my son now. And it's been great because I'm actually carving out time to read so that I can, you know, read with him. Because I told you I don't like reading. And I'm trying to tell him, like, you know, I know it's the summer. I know you don't like reading, but please get used to it because it's not going to go away and it's going to help you.
That's good.
So, I read Jay Shetty, and Jay Shetty, he was a monk for 3 years in India. He used to work for Accenture, like this other company that's well known. But he wanted to find true happiness. So he got out of the sanctuary, the monk, I'm going to say
Monksville.
Monastery.
I
there we go.
Monkville. Oh
Monkville.
My gosh. No, let's if call it that for
Monkville. I was going to say Monkville. What in the. I was drawing a city before I got here with my son because we were trying to, that's where I got the Ville from because we kept, anyway, so he got out of Monkville and now is teaching what he taught there and trying to apply it to regular us humans. And so
that's
he
nice.
Has a book, New York bestselling book called Think Like a Monk, and I'm reading it. One of the things, and I sent it to Faith because we were talking about it, it's just both of us have in common, and you might feel this way too, is the way you talk to yourself is so incredibly yeah. rude. This morning, I wasn't feeling my best, but and my husband's like, just don't work out. And I went back on my thing of, wow, Rashi, you're that lazy. You're not even going to cook today. You're not going to do, you know, all these things. Anyway, so I was reading this, and I wanted to share it with you. If you're like most other humans, your intellect excels at telling your mind where it goes wrong, but rarely bothers to tell you where it goes right. What kind of parenting is that? And I thought to myself, we as parents are trying to teach our kids and talk to our kids in such a respectful manner and understanding manner, but how do we parent ourselves? And so the way that he describes our mind is a monkey mind, because we go from branch to branch to branch, thought to thought to thought.
I thought you meant
right?
like a monk-y.
No,
mind.
Right, monkey. No. And so the way that we talk to ourselves is like the child, and us ourselves is the adult. So you have to be talking to the child like, Rashi, that's not right. Rashi, that's not you. You are better than that. We can figure this out. So the solution to it, according to this book and according to this monk, we need to reframe our mind. And to do so, putting a solution-oriented spin on your statement reminds you to be proactive and take responsibility. So, for instance, I said this to myself many times, maybe even in a day. I can't do this. I can't handle everything. So instead, it's I can do this by. I'm prioritizing and checking items off of my list. Like, I think that's so monumental and it kind of spoke to me. And so I wanted to share it with you because I think that we fall in this trap of talking to ourselves, saying mean things, and then that illusion we create in our head is what we believe.
Absolutely.
And so I think that, you know, even especially in this business where, you know, you're constantly going.
Never stops.
Right. It doesn't. It's like you need to take a deep breath. And, you know, I'm sure that you've shared with me, like, it's like hard on you to like the way that you talk to yourself, like, well, I should be doing this. I should be doing that sort of thing.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I mean, working moms, mm-hmm. I think all of us struggle with that.
Work-life
balance, and you know, you feel like you're not prioritizing your children, or you're not prioritizing your job, or you're always letting someone down.
Right.
Feel like that whole conversation of like, oh, I'm failing at this. I have that all the time. And I have to take a breath and remind myself, like, I'm doing the best I can.
Right.
So
right.
I look at my desk, I'm surrounded by like cards and like affirmations.
Yes.
To just remind myself, like, I am loved, I am worthy.
Yes. You know, and it sounds stupid. Reframe. And you might be like, maybe just listening to us, which if you're listening to us on iHeart, Spotify, or Apple, thank you. then you might be thinking, this is dumb, what are you talking about? But just think about the last time you were mean to yourself, and it's probably not been that far off. Yeah. And you don't need to be that way, because you wouldn't be like that to other people, even people that you don't know. So just be kind to others, but be kind to yourself, number one. So just wanted to share that message with you this Friday. And being kind is something the internet is not being with this one couple. So stay tuned, because we're gonna talk about this this viral video that you gotta see. We'll describe it for you if you haven't. Okay. Let's talk about this, folks. If you're like, this is old news, it is not old news. No. We're talking about that couple.
I
can't get enough either. And neither can the internet. We are all coming together for this. The cheaters caught at a Coldplay concert, allegedly. Take a look.
Yeah. Oh, look at these two.
Oh.
It never stops me.
Either they're having an affair or they're just very shy.
Oh, dear.
I just love it.
It's so cringe. It's so cringe.
I love the girl that we know more about now that's turning bright red right there. Like,
Wait, who is she?
She is the HR director's friend who like works with her and has like followed her from company to company, apparently. So she's like in on it. That's why she's turning bright red like that, because she knows they're busted.
Gosh. And the CEO just ducks down like that.
Disappears. Where'd he go?
Okay. So astronomer CEO Andy Byron and the firm's chief human resources officer, Kristen Cabot, scrambled to hide their faces when they were broadcast on a Jumbotron canoodling at Gillette Stadium outside of Boston. This was on Wednesday night. So here's the new thing. And this is like the top story online as well. I mean, this is taking over.
Oh, yeah.
Folks, because I think a lot of people can also relate to it. I think, like, let's just say it out there. And then some people are just so cringe, and it's just like, oh my gosh, the HR director, CEO, and what is happening? So here's the latest. The company is launching an investigation into the affair. That's what they say. The company launched this, and they put this out on X, I think an Instagram post as well. Now, there's so many layers to this.
There really
and,
are.
And yesterday I spoke with a lawyer talking about whether or not these people, if they want, if they could sue Coldplay. And really, they wouldn't have much of a case, according to the lawyer, which you would think so as well. It's a concert, kiss cams, whatever, those are part of it. I think there might even be some clause on your ticket that you might not know about.
She was so funny. She's like, you chose to go to that concert
with your boo.
Yes. Like, that's really
with
funny.
With your boo.
Your
and
side
then
piece.
My twisted mind was like, if my husband was cheating and I knew about it, I would plot something that would, you know, I would say to the people, whoever I knew, that like, hey, if they're in this seat and if you point it during this time, mm-hmm. you'll catch two very people who are very high up in their business to see their business. And I'd be just sipping wine in the back.
I know,
I'd probably
right?
buy myself a Coldplay concert, you know, something. And then use that video to get even more money mm-hmm. for my divorce.
Yeah, no, she better, don't get mad, get everything, they yes. say. I hope she gets everything. But yeah, I mean, that would require her to like, maybe know Coldplay.
And, right.
Or somebody who works
or
at the concert
that,
to pan
yes.
to them. But so I don't know if it's that deep, but that would be really interesting.
Well,
if that
sometimes
came out.
They, you know, contract out these people.
That's
and
true.
And so you wouldn't, like,
so
I
totally
would,
out of the realm of possibility. Nothing yes. surprises me working in the news.
Well, I would totally call up the Texans if it was, you know, my husband at a Texans game. Okay, this is not happening at all. I'm just saying.
Like,
that's how my mind works. And I would just be like, well, you know, look at what just happened.
That's fine. Normally, I do go to, like, an imaginary worst-case scenarios, but, like, my husband and I are so tight. Like, the thought of him having an affair makes me laugh. It really does. Because
yeah,
he doesn't have the time yes. or the energy to do something like that.
Well, I
or the desire.
Yes. To just for the record, I know my husband's not having an affair.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
very lucky, knock on wood.
But you put yourself in their shoes.
Right.
Naturally.
Now, here's where I do feel bad. The kids.
I know.
Because daddy is a slob.
But they are older, which, I mean, not that that makes it any easier. It might even make it worse because they're able to fully understand what happened. But, yeah, it's just, that's really,
you know, maybe they
to
just rally
kids
around their mom. I mean, yeah, because I know situations where dads are not great, and then you just rally around your mom.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think that, and then you just learn what not to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that, speaking from experience, that is the best thing to do. So if you are older, I think it's better because you understand.
Yeah, and they have two adult sons, so like you're
that's
right.
Good.
I think that they're gonna like look at what their dad did and be like, I don't want to be that way.
Yes, yeah, and there's no anger or anything toward them, toward your dad or whatever. It's just a, you know, these they're the choices that you made, and
he made some choices, all
right?
And
sure.
So did she.
But how dumb do you have to be to? Well, not just dumb, but I think you just like think so highly of yourself, like, I'm the CEO, I can kind of get away with everything, yeah. You know, this is not that big of a deal, and so I'm going to go to this very public place where I could potentially be on the Jumbotron, but that won't happen to me.
I know.
And then it happens.
Then it happens. You would think, like, even, oh, the kiss cam's coming up, maybe we should stand apart, you know, just in case. No,
oh, no.
They're just flaunting it. They didn't care.
No, and it didn't even look like he was doing the Heimlich or something, you know, like she was choking. Like, this was, like...
I know, I loved when you said that yesterday. Like, babe, I was giving her the Heimlich.
I know. Like, I would be like, oh, the kiss camera, let's move away.
No, they
like,
made
so
a lot
it can
of...
look like a team bonding event or something, you know? Team building, not bonding. What's that called? Team building event.
That
yes.
was a bonding event.
That
for
was,
sure.
They were bonding. They had already bonded, it seemed like, and they were continuing to bond.
Oh my gosh.
All right, friends, we will be right back. All right, so we were talking about that couple. I don't know if they're in love or what, but there was some situation going on there. We want to know if you're in love with your car. Think about it. There's something that people say they are loving the car. They are just loving their car. A new survey shows how people really think about their cars. 90% say they feel a fondness for their vehicle. 40% say they're in love with them. And the survey also revealed the average person can point to 11 major life milestones that have taken place in their current car.
Aww.
One last note, 21% of drivers have bestowed their car with a name. The poll commissioned by Zybart, a car care company.
Well, that's awesome.
I have named each one of my cars, yes.
I only named my first car that I got.
Really?
Yeah, I named her Lemonade because the first day I got her, I spilled lemonade all over the inside of it.
So let's call you Lemonade. But I think that we were talking about, we retreat to our car many times,
yes.
Either at work or whatever the case may be. And every time that I have gotten a new car or had to part ways with my old one, say I'm trading it in or whatever, I've like had to say goodbye to it.
Yeah.
And it's a Hindu ritual that you do this like prayer when you get a new car, and you have like four lemons that you put the wheels, like you have them crush the lemons, and there's coconut and all this. So you
oh
like
my gosh.
So your car is a sacred spot, like it's because it takes
so cool.
you from place to place, right?
Yeah.
And just the vibe in the car, I mean, late nights, early mornings, you are in the car.
Podcast listening.
Yes.
Houston traffic.
Crying in the car, just having a fit in the car, screaming, your kids screaming. So the car sees a lot.
It does,
so
yeah.
It could be a beat up car, it could be an expensive car, it doesn't matter. It's just like, it's the vehicle that takes you from place to place, always there for you. I know it's like an inanimate object, but
yeah, but
still.
Like the milestones thing. I mean, I was so sad when I lost the car. I brought my son home from the hospital.
Oh,
and
yes.
That was like my first thought when I lost it. I was just like, oh, that was the car my son came home from the hospital.
Oh, right.
And I got very nostalgic about that. Like that car did mean a lot to me. I'm
yes.
sad I don't have it anymore.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's talk about something that is here and we get to watch it all the time. The Spectrum of Parenting is a segment that we feature at on Fox Local every Thursday, I believe, right?
Yeah,
at 2:30.
Yes.
Yeah. And we also rerun it several other times. So talk about the people that you are going to be talking to next, because you always bring in such special guests and you're able to share such a different aspect of parenting through your segment.
Yeah, well, this family's great. They own a company called Stay Fresh with Peanut.
Okay.
It's like a... amazing fragrance company. I'm actually a customer.
Oh.
I have a car air freshener, and every time I open the door of my car, I get this beautiful smell. It hangs from my rear view mirror.
Oh.
And I've had it for a couple of weeks, and it's still hanging there, hanging on strong. But yeah, it's a fragrance business that's providing job opportunities to people of diverse abilities. They make aroma beads, sprays, just lots of anything you could think of that smells good.
Oh my gosh.
It. And it's, yeah, helping employ people who are, yeah, of diverse abilities, including their son. It's named for their son, George Jr., also called Peanut. He's their why, they say. He's the reason they started all this. I talked to him on the phone today, and he's just such a sweetheart. And, you know, the whole family, I mean, they're incredible. Because a lot of the special needs parents I talk to, they are like, I'm going to create this opportunity for my child and myself. You know, like, I interviewed another family who they own at one of those gyms, We Rock the Spectrum. And their daughter is their why as well. And their son's their why. So I think it's great when, you know, special needs communities can really rally together like this, because they're not just helping their son, they're helping other people too.
Definitely. And I know that you are as well, because, you know, just as a parent in general, you're kind of like lost, right? And so you're trying to figure out this whole world of parenting that nobody has a manual for. And so it's a whole different type of level of challenges when you are having, when you have a special needs child. I mean, it's not like disabilities, it's abilities of other kinds.
Yeah, and I love the way that they worded it, the people of diverse abilities.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's
yeah.
a very sweet way to put it.
Well, it's true though, because it's, you know, it might to an ignorant person look like an inconvenience or whatever, but there's different, you meet different types of people, but you don't have to have a special needs, you know, situation to be an inconvenient person. So, so let's just put that there, okay?
That is very true.
So no. But we're really, really happy that you're doing that segment.
Thank you so much for joining us
on Carolina Rashi.
Always a pleasure.
Yes, and she looks beautiful, and we'll have you on again. All right, be sure to join us tonight at 7. She's producing that, and 10 p.m. we'll be there as well. We'll see you next time, friends.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy Friday.